Prayer is powerful. Hi, this is Bishop Timothy Fryer of the Diocese of Orange in California. And prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memorares this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we'll reach our goal by the end of the year. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I flee unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today are several special guests, starting with Mark McElrath, who is the Executive Director for Santiago Retreat Center. Mark, welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio.
Rick, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having us today.
And we're going to be talking about a number of different things that are happening at the Santiago Retreat Center, along with some important people, some of whom you brought with you today. Before we go into introductions, though, we do have a priest with us. Would you go ahead and introduce him? And Father, if you'd be so kind then as to open us with a word of prayer.
It would be my pleasure, everyone. I want to introduce to you the chaplain of Santiago Retreat Center, Father Glenn Botten, who's a priest of the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, which is a very special ordinary. It's continent-wide. Bishop Van has asked for and received permission for Father Glenn to be assigned as our chaplain, and so he's part of our daily spiritual leadership at the Retreat Center. It's great to have him here. So, Father Glenn.
Thank you guys so much. It's a great honor to be here. Let us come before our Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your Holy Church and thankful for our place in the Church. We are thankful, God, for our faith. Thankful, Lord, that we can go out by way of radio message and share our faith and what we have going on, and most especially the Santiago Retreat Center. We ask your blessing upon everything that the Retreat Center does in terms of evangelizing and allowing for a deeper conversion to happen in the hearts and minds and all those folks who spend time in retreat with us. And as we share all this, Lord, we would just ask that we can continue to be indwelt by your most Holy Spirit. Bless this time that we have, Lord. Bless us and bless your church. We ask these things, Christ, for your sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And again, it's wonderful to have all of you here. You not only brought along Father, who we've had Father Botten on before to talk about the Ordinariate, so welcome back, Father.
Thank you.
You've also brought another special guest with us as well.
Well, this is Chase Moy, and Chase is a recently graduated Cal State Fullerton Titan. He has a tremendous experience in growing in the faith through Focus Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which has a chapter at Fullerton. So we got to know Chase through his experience with Camp El Camino as one of our MCs and participating there. So we thought we'd bring Chase in and get some update on what's happening in the life of Fullerton on campus and also from a young Catholic in today's contemporary world.
So we have a number of things to talk about. Mark, we've had you on many times before, and I'm very thankful that you've been able to come on again to help guide us a little bit in some of the things that are happening in Orange County, especially at the Santiago Retreat Center. So let's just go right into it. What do you have on the plate right now that's coming up in the near future for Santiago?
Well, I think the best way to describe what's happening at the retreat center is really to mirror what's taking place in the Diocese of Orange, which is really the becoming, if not already is, the center for new evangelization, certainly in the western part of the United States. As we all know, we're now in a holy year, as proclaimed by our Bishop Kevin Vann on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. He proclaimed a year of preparation for the dedication of Christ Cathedral, which will be taking place, God willing, on July 17th, 2019. And so we're now a little less than 365 days away from it. But again, with all of the energy and all of the movement in terms of evangelization, which is taking place both at Christ Cathedral and throughout the diocesan area, and also through the Southern California region, the Retreat Center serves to serve that mission, to help advance the good news of Jesus Christ through the renewal of parish life, primarily through sacrament preparation retreats centered around confirmation retreats. But during the summertime, what we do is we shift from group retreats and move into summer camps. This year we had four different summer camps. We had the Vacation Bible Camp, which had over 300 campers this year. Wow. We had our Camp El Camino, which is our junior high camp, which Chase and Florence's intentional girlfriend, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But Chase and Flo were out there as the MCs for the camp and had 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, you know, all over, everything from messy games to mud runs to tug-of-wars to every possible activity that is fun and then also includes a sacramental portion of the liturgies and the holiness and the daily rosaries and prayer.
Right now, sounds dirty. Sounds like you've got a lot of Tide or those of you who are involved with Amway.
We do.
Goodness, yeah. They have a corner on the market.
Yeah. Okay. In fact, today we've got over 132 girls up at Girls Camp, grades 3 through 8, and they're up there having a great time. Again, similar activities. This one's each day has sponsored by a different religious order. And then we have our family camp coming up in 2 weeks, and that's just fun for all ages, from nursing moms all the way to granddads and everybody in between from every age cohort, something going on for summer camp. So that's been that's something we do every year, and it just gets better and more enjoyable.
So let me just kind of shift gears for just a moment. So, Chase, let me ask you, what has been your experience? And I'm thinking specifically at Santiago, but, of course, I'm going to then ask you how you got there in just a minute. But at Santiago, what was your experience in working with all these teenagers?
Well, you know, it's such a joy to see the faith in these young kids. And I helped out with Florencia and a few of our friends at Camp El Camino. And seeing the kids go from being, because these are middle schoolers, going from being a little shy, a little reserved when they're first getting out of the car, when their parents drop them off, to by the end of the camp, throwing themselves in the mud and really diving into the talks and opening up about what they've learned from our various speakers. And we had actually a adoration hike. And that was the most powerful experience of the week for everybody who did it. And like seeing the kids really get down and worship and seeing that experience grow and that intentionality grow, for me was like, it's priceless. It was by far the best experience, is just watching these kids grow in holiness and grow in intentionality with our Lord.
I taught 8th grade for 5 years, so I know what you're saying there. In fact, you had me worried there for a moment when you said that they were shy. I know that age group really well, but it sounds like they actually came out of their shell for you. What's wonderful about this age group is that there's a sincerity to their inquiry. They really want to know, what is this all about? I mean, for all of their insecurities, therefore they'll have their protections they'll put on. They really want to know, if God is real, can you show him to me? And it sounds like in some very tangible ways you were able to do that at this camp.
Exactly. There was actually a young boy who he was so – I could see his interest and his desire to grow in knowledge for the Mass. And so he would ask me throughout the week about different things. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? And it was such an inspiration, because at that age, I don't know if even I was there yet, if I had that desire to learn and grow. And seeing all these kids just really – they're the life of the church. You know, they're our future. And being able to – just that one young boy who would talk to me about Mass. And he – after one of our group talks, group discussions – he came up to me and he was asking me about, like, oh, why do we kneel at certain portions of the Mass, and what's the difference between kneeling and genuflecting? It was such a joy to be able to kind of like kindle and fan that flame of desire and love for the Lord. And another really powerful experience was talking to the kids about confession. And we did this crazy big mud run, and everybody enjoyed it. And so the talk.
Now, when you say mud run, that to me sounds really scary, mainly because I really don't like getting dirty. What was this? Was it set up?
So there was an obstacle course that we had. The initial portion was we split it up into groups, and all the kids ran. The first thing we did is we had to army crawl under a bunch of netting, and so really get into the mud
low
and
crawl.
Yeah. And I got to lead that one, so that was fun. And then after that, we ran, and we had to climb this little wall and jump down on the other side. And then the by far the hardest, most difficult part that I found myself struggling to do as well, we climbed up this rope up a hill in the mud. And so it was like I was getting caught and slipping up, and it was so hard to get up there. I thought I was going to be helping the kids up, but I ended up almost needing help myself. So, and after that, the last thing was we had this big tarp laid out, and we had water, and at the bottom of this like slide was a big old pit of mud and water. And so the kids, it was so fun to watch the kids. The first part of the obstacle course, nobody wanted to get dirty, and they were like, oh, I got the least mud on me, and that was their pride. But by the end, kids were jumping in the pool and the mud there. They were doing it 10 times even. And so the point of it was like leading into confession. We talked about how sometimes in the moment, sin can feel like that. Oh, I'm fun. I'm having fun. This is awesome. But then after the mud gets on you and time goes on, it kind of cakes on, and sin does that to us.
You need to get sprayed down.
Yeah, you
spiritually.
Need to get sprayed down. So afterwards, we all went and cleaned up, and we went to confession. And see, that really clicked for a lot of the kids, and I could see them really intentionally go into confession. And I had a bunch of kids afterwards talk to me about how they really want to make monthly confessions a part of their life. And so for me, that was just, it was so inspiring to see that change actually take place, and to see an encounter with the Lord for these young kids and see them like take action upon it and bring that into their lives and the outside of Santiago.
That's fantastic. Father, you being the chaplain, I take it you're familiar with what he's talking about. You can't share with us, nor do we really want to hear what they were saying in confession. But is it true you saw a renewal in the hearts of these young kids?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the wonderful part about the whole retreat, is it kind of builds on itself. There's these various component pieces of whether it's daily mass, the opportunity to hear confessions. But in light of what these kids are doing all day long, they're getting to know each other better. They're building trust. You know, they're crawling out of their shells and getting vulnerable with each other and with the leaders. And the neat part is also, like Chase, the leaders that we have are themselves young people. And so you have young people evangelizing younger people, basically. And it's just a really beautiful thing to see. So most of what I do as a chaplain is I just look at all of this in a posture of
try
prayer.
Try to not get too dirty.
And say, oh, go on. No, yeah. Yeah, me running around in my cassock doing the mud run.
At least it's black.
So. Yeah, okay. But yeah, oh yeah, there's a, you know, and to hear the confessions of these young people, there's just the whole sense that they really just want to have that encounter with the Lord where they are coming clean. And so that was a component piece of it as well, mass, confession. So it's a really nice compliment. We're able to bring the life of the sacraments of the church alive at exactly the time that these kids are having a lot of fun, are doing a lot of team building, are really asking questions about their faith, are experiencing a lot of really in-depth talks and things like that. So the overall component pieces of this, I think, is just a really, really beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing for me to be part of, for sure.
And it sounds like what a wonderful experience for these kids, most especially that it's only within a few miles from anywhere in downtown Orange County, because Santiago Retreat Center is located not that far away. When we come back, I want to get back to Mark. I want to ask, how did this all come about, and what is on tap for the very near future? You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we will be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the Santiago studios at the Grove site, where we are talking about not only the retreats that are available at Santiago, which I want to ask you, Mark, we were just talking about a fantastic experience that a whole bunch of young teenagers had who were at junior high school age. There are other retreats that are happening all the time over at the retreat center. What's going on there with that?
There are. The majority of our mission is to help renew parish life through retreats, which are booked primarily by parishes for their confirmation groups. So they'll bring group retreats out all throughout the school year. Each parish, as you know, has a requirement to form for confirmation. That's a 2-year process, and each class usually has between 110 and 200 kids in their confirmation program each year. So if you can imagine a parish having 2 retreats per year for 100-plus kids each year, it's going to take a lot of beds and a lot of bandwidth in order to be able to do that. And we have the facilities capable of doing that at Santiago Retreat Center with our 500 beds and 3 retreat areas. Each one has not only dormitory space, but space for meetings, space for activities, space for play, space for pray. So there's something every group would need, and we can, you know, handle 3 groups simultaneously without them bumping into each other. So that's kind of a neat thing of having 500 acres that's located just 17 miles from Christ Cathedral. But in terms of retreats, primarily we work with organizations of book space. Things that we put on are primarily during the summer. The summer camps primarily are the 4 that we've mentioned, which are the Vacation Bible Camp, the Junior High Camp, the Girls Camp, grades 3 through 8, and then, of course, the Family Camp. And then we have a great program at the end of the summer that we wrap everything up. It's kind of the camp's reunion, as well as we invite everybody in town to come to it. And that's the Compostela Camp Out and the 1531 Festival, which is a great weekend of fun. People can come out, bring their own sleeping bags. They can bring their RV. They can pitch a tent. They can roll out a sleeping bag in one of the bunkhouses. Or they can come just for the day's activities, but it's a full schedule.
Well, no, I was looking at that. I'm going to come to that in just a little bit. You've got a really full lineup of people here. So for our listening audience, when we get to this a little bit later on, I think they'll be very excited about who they're going to hear is coming in. We were talking about you being basically plugged into a number of things that are going on in the diocese. You were saying that your center focuses primarily, kind of caters to the needs of sacrament preparation, especially within confirmation. But how else is the Santiago Retreat Center really kind of plugged into the diocese? What are you doing in collaboration with the diocese and its overall mission?
Well, I think in particular, in addition to obviously the sacrament prep and what's happening in terms of spirituality groups at the parishes, we also do different groups that come out from various walks of life, whether that's Jóvenes para Cristo or whether it's men's movement. We've got Catholic Men's Fellowship, for example, coming out. There's always different life things that are dynamics that are taking place in the parishes. But in terms of intentionality and walking in union with the diocese and in particular with Christ Cathedral, we were really inspired by the bishop's proclamation on the holy year of preparation for the dedication of Christ Cathedral, which will be taking place on July 17th in 2019. So on the Feast of St. James, which is the 25th of July, we'll be inaugurating a weekly holy hour in the St. James Chapel at Santiago Retreat Center. And for those of you that have been there before, you know that there's a very significant cultural heritage in that worship space. Prior to coming to Santiago Retreat Center, that building was located at Marywood Center, where it was the Curcio Chapel. So when Marywood Center was sold and we were taking all of the sacred art and all of the sacred objects out of Marywood, which had served the Catholic faithful for over 45 years, more than that when you consider the high school history of it, that particular chapel was physically relocated onto the grounds of Christ, wow, of Santiago Retreat Center. Bishop Vann had it blessed, and then it's been the hub of our spiritual life as a community there at Santiago Retreat Center. So we thought it very fitting that on the Feast of St. James, our patronal feast, that we inaugurated, take the bishop's advice and inaugurate a weekly holy hour which consists of weekday Mass at 11:30. And following Mass, Father Glenn will be exposing Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament for a 30-minute period of adoration and devotional prayer. And we'll be praying specifically for the intentions that our bishop asked us to with regards to the Holy Year proclamation, which is available on the diocesan website.
So, Father, drilling down a little bit more on that, what is it specifically that Bishop Van has asked us as a diocese to do?
So, as Mark had mentioned, in anticipation of the space being ready and on July 17th of 2019, just kind of a spiritual preparation, I think, is what the bishop is asking of his people, you know, for the safety of the workers, for the project to be completed on time, within budget. I mean, those are, you know, when you're remodeling.
He's asking miracles here, is
well,
what he's asking.
Okay. There's a,
having gone through a few renovations myself. Those are important. Those are prayers important. Are very important.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting because there's the physical reality, and I think what the bishop really wants to do is impress upon us, the faithful in this diocese, the attendant spiritual commitment that goes along with that, to attend daily Mass. And this is one of the things that Mark had mentioned, and I'll just reiterate it again. So our patronal feast, it is the St. James Chapel. We are Santiago, which is Spanish for St. James, you know, the Portola expedition and everything else. Our place is a place of Camino. That's the other thing, the pastoral plan that Bishop Van had talked about is encounter with Jesus Christ, Comunio. We have the Blessed Sacrament. We have Jesus 24/7. So we have a special, beautiful form of a communion with our Lord. And then also Camino. Well, you know, we're a retreat center, and there's miles and miles of places you can hike, the Stations of the Cross.
So Camino means road, or
right.
the way.
The path.
Well, and that was actually what the original church called themselves back in the earliest days.
Yeah, the way.
People along the way.
Yeah. So we've got that. So we want to support, and we can do so in a very peculiar kind of a retreat center sort of way, as a refuge away from suburbia into God's, you know, beautiful wilderness. We can offer that to our faithful here in the Diocese of Orange, as well as this proclamation for the year of preparation for the delivery of Christ Cathedral to be used by the diocese. We do, and I just want to make an open invitation. We have daily Mass at the Retreat Center, 11:30, Monday through Thursday. So if you're out and about on the road and you want to have a little mini retreat even, you know, take your lunch out there. You can sit at, we're acres and acres and acres, and you can be there at our St. James Chapel and celebrate, you know, be with us for the celebration of Mass. And most especially now, in solidarity with this Holy Year that we have now, we are going to set aside our Wednesdays, as Mark said, and we will have a time of Mass, of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, where we can spend time with our Savior, and specifically with the intention of supporting our diocese with that new space, which will be a center in the crown of the new evangelization for Southern California. So we are in solidarity with that, in support of that as much as we possibly can be. So, yeah, take a look. You'll find that document, I'm sure, on the diocesan website, the Proclaiming a Holy Year of Preparation of Christ Cathedral, a great summonsing of the faithful here in this diocese.
Well, that's the wonderful thing I like about Bishop Van, is that he is not shy about invoking our Lord in anything that he tries to do. And that's something that we've clearly seen in his leadership and how the campus has come together and continues to come together in the way that the project has been going, both in its physical aspects of it, but also in the spiritual aspects of what he hopes to do with it. So I'm thrilled that you're able to do that. So as you're engaging this as a retreat center, you're looking at trying to reach out. How is the retreat center then able to empower even more of what's going on in the diocese?
Well, again, because we're a neutral location, not necessarily inside of a parish life, but we're a neutral location, serves so many, it's a way for us to reach out to the 60 parishes and centers, the 6 high schools, the activities that take place there. Everybody needs a place where they can come together in a rural setting to unplug from the busyness of life in the urban setting.
And it's not your normal setting for doing this.
Exactly.
That's something that people don't, I think, realize as much, is that sometimes you just need to have a different location to be able to push reset on the button, so to speak.
One of the great things that we have available, for example, in terms of the facilities, is we have a team building obstacle course that every group that comes out there, they start with a half of a mile trust walk, and then they go through six different elements. It's everything from a climbing wall to a spider web that they need to navigate their way through a low ropes activity. It's, 6 inches off the ground. But in terms of working together to solve a collaborative challenge, brings the team together. And you do it in a beautiful, gladed kind of a canyon that's surrounded with live oak trees and scrubs. You would think that you were out 1,000 miles away from here in the hills of North Carolina. I had an Army guy go through there and says, hey, this is like Fort Bragg. It is like Fort Bragg, and it's only 17 miles from Disney. I mean, this is an amazing facility that's available for people to take advantage of, and whether it's for a day retreat for a high school or a sixth grade class, or if it's a weekend retreat for a women's sodality, there's something for everybody to find by getting away from their usual setting, getting out to nature, turning off the cell phone. If they can turn it on, but they're not going to get reception. But, they're going to listen to the quiet voice of God in the wilderness. And that's what the magic really is when God invites us into a retreat environment.
Well, and that's one of the wonderful things that Bishop Venn has blessed us with, then, that in calling for a holy year for us to be able to focus our prayers, our intentions on the successful completion of the diocesan cathedral, that it allows for the people to individually take ownership of that, but also to spend time in places like the Santiago Retreat Center to get away from everything. And you're not charging at the door to be able to come in and have lunch up there. You're not for them to be able to come up and just enjoy the scrub oaks and breathe in some fresh air and to be able to go to Eucharistic adoration. They can just come up and park and go and breathe in that spiritual renewal.
Absolutely. And usually what happens is people come out, they'll check in at the front gate, they'll receive a map that shows them, they just drive straight forward on a road and it dead ends right into the St. James Chapel. And then it's just, again, like any other liturgical experience, Mass starts at 11:30, sometimes maybe 11:35, but it's usually, right on time at 11:30. And Father Glenn celebrates a beautiful Mass very reverently. It's in a beautiful environment. And then the afternoon schedule is kind of up to the person, whatever they want to do. If they want to just take a walk, take a hike, if they want to just enjoy the beautiful outdoors. We also have the Shroud Center of Southern California up there with a little bit of advanced planning. We can arrange for a docent-led tour of the Shroud Center, which is a scientific study of the Shroud of Turin. It's fantastic. World-class experts have put this center together. It's one of the really great elements that's available for a confirmation group when they come up on the weekend and they take advantage of the Shroud Center. Nothing really helps you understand the passion. Reflecting on the Shroud of Turin and what that means and in terms of what love truly is, and that's the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And I don't want to get too sidetracked to that because I could for a long, long time. The Shroud itself is absolutely beautiful. I was talking with you, Chase, about Our Lady of Guadalupe. I was talking with someone else, and you had just walked in right around that same time, so it wasn't you, Chase. But we were talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe and how the Shroud has some similarities in its style. The Shroud itself, we can't explain how that image got there. Well, actually, I think we can. We can't prove how that image got there. I think we have a big flash of light that happens at the resurrection of Christ, and that's what emblazons it on there. But we can't prove that necessarily. But you can't disprove it either. And it's fascinating what you can't disprove. And the things that are on there are just absolutely fantastic and spectacular. Like in the photographic image, when you turn it into a negative, over the eyes you can make out the inscriptions on two little coins covering the eyes. And we can actually identify those coins as lepti from the reign of Pontius Pilate. That's amazing. What kind of a forger would think of that? It's impossible, but yet there it is. Those kinds of things are fascinating. But yet we have similar interesting details like that for Our Lady of Guadalupe, which when we come back, I want to jump off of because we're going to talk a little bit more about the 1531 festival. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Mark McElrath and Father Glenn Botten and Chase Moynihan, and we'll be right back.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timory Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timory podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today are several people from the Santiago Retreat Center here in Orange, and we were just talking about the nature of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the image that's on the Tilda of Juan Diego. Very briefly, it reminds me of one of the more important things that's happening, that's coming up. Mark, you have planned an annual celebration called the 1531 Festival. That's a free festival, so that's something important for people to mark down on their calendars for that reason alone. But it's not just because it's free. Tell us a little bit more about this festival.
Well, first thing to talk about is the number 1531. It has a significance historically because the year 1531 is when Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to St. Juan Diego in Tepeyac. And that's what really began the golden age of evangelization. And the 10 years after that apparition, 9 million Christians came into the church. And when we were putting together the festival and we see this as really a center of evangelization and evangelization of culture, we thought we would dedicate the entire enterprise to Our Lady of Guadalupe, the star of the new evangelization, as proclaimed by St. John Paul II in his document Ecclesia in America, where he pointed out the significance of Our Lady as that guiding star as we're involved in evangelization. So the 1531 Festival, this is the fourth year. It's a fundraiser for the Santiago Retreat Center Scholarship Fund. It's free. There's no ticket price to get in. We do ask that you register online so we know how many hamburgers and hot dogs to prepare. But during that time period, you know, every food purchase, every purchase of an additional item or participation, it gives our underwriter something to help sponsor and gives people an opportunity to rally around a good cause to make a donation. So we do raise a few dollars to help defer the cost of going to a retreat or coming to summer camp. But the festival itself is just an all-day celebration of the arts, music, visual arts, performing arts, the art of evangelization, and it takes place in context of a thing called the Compostela Campout, which begins on Friday afternoon. This year, our host is Patrick Madrid of Relevant Radio.
Oh, wow.
So Patrick will arrive on Friday night. We begin with Mass under the canopy outdoors, and then we have a beautiful poolside dinner followed by an inspiring talk on evangelization by Patrick, and then a poolside concert. Our artists this year are Alana Boudreau and Perry Evans. Perry is from Denver, Colorado. Alana is from Nashville, Tennessee, where she works with an organization called Love Good Culture. And she's trying to evangelize through inspiring music, and she does a great job of it. She's a Steubenville University graduate, and as are a lot of the people related to Love Good. And so they're just two of 20 different artists that will be with us that weekend.
I know Father Stan Fortuna is coming out. I've interviewed him a couple of times. You've got some really neat people that are in this lineup here.
Father Stan is one of our really good friends of this particular festival. He's been with us every year, and he looks forward to it. It's on his calendar. In fact, he comes in from England for it, where he participates in a music festival the week prior, and then he flies out to the West Coast.
I was going to say, he's out of New York, as I recall.
Yeah, he's all over. He has more frequent flyer miles than anybody has a right to even imagine. But Father Stan will be with us. Our headliners will be Hope and Justin Band. Hope and Justin are amazing people. They don't tour because they have 8 children, and they are very talented singer-songwriters. But Justin has a day job, and Hope obviously has a day job as well. So it's a rare opportunity to see them live. They'll be participating. And they were also our music directors and helped put together the entire lineup. But if you go to our website, 1531festival.com, you'll be able to see the entire lineup, which just includes everyone under the sun. Over 20 different acts of music on Saturday will be taking place.
I've got Father Stan Fortuna, Hope and Justin, Thomas Laughlin and the Canyon Aliens, Merlot Embargo, Jessica Gerhardt.
Gerhardt, yep.
Josh Beckham, Mending Fences Bluegrass Band, Michaela McCall, Perry West, Kateri Lirio.
Kateri Lirio.
Who is Kateri?
Kateri Lirio is one of the real hidden gems of music in Southern California. She does a lot of liturgy music right now.
I will learn how to pronounce
it. Yeah, but her instrument is the ukulele.
Oh.
And she has the most amazing, charming voice that pairs with that particular instrument. She's an inspiration, and her music is absolutely, it's all original. She writes her own words and her own lyrics and her own music. She's just an inspiring young person. I'm glad she's on the lineup this year.
That sounds fantastic. So this particular festival then, which is, as you say, under a canopy of sycamore trees and starry skies, this is all free?
Yeah. So what happens, if you want to spend the weekend with us, we charge you a small stipend for your overnight accommodations, which includes all meals from Friday through Sunday. But if you come for the 1531 Festival, there's no ticket price at the door. You come on in, you make a food purchase. That's how we ask people to make contributions and
donations.
Please
come hungry and then buy there.
Come hungry, and we put out some tremendous food. We have craft beer. We have street tacos. We have designer pizzas. We have, of course, fair food like hamburgers and hot dogs and everything that anybody in under the sun enjoys eating. The stuff that's not good for you but tastes so darn good. It's just a lot of fun and just a good way to celebrate kind of the summer as it comes to the end.
So, Father, what's your role in all of this? Are you involved with this festival then?
Well, that's actually a really key question. I'll be a little flip here. I've been trying to figure out what my role is the whole time I've been at the retreat center. There's a quick story that I'll just go into. So before I was ordained just over 2 years ago. And as Mark mentioned, I am a priest with the Ordinariate, which is former Anglicans and Episcopalians. We talked about it, Rick.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different...
But not on this show.
No,
so
this is
new
true.
Listeners who do not know you or your story.
So part of it is, number one, 1531 is going to just be a great time. We will be celebrating Mass, and so I'll be the celebrant. And then I think I'll concelebrate with Father Stan. It's always great when he's out as well. But in addition to that, the other hat that I wear, one of a few, is the director of construction. So I'll be running around with a hammer and in my tool belt, helping to put all this together. So we really do need to have everyone come out there and just appreciate the fine quality of the constructed materials.
So do you put overalls over the cassock, or how does
No. We don't use
black overalls.
Yeah. Something like that.
I love it.
So, yeah, but we'll have, you know, it'll be a whole complement of Mass as well. And Mark did mention, you know, the Compostela cookout, or the camp out, rather, which is, if people, we still have room, it'd be a great thing to have a weekend with a family and have 1531 right at the center of that. You can stay for a Friday night through Sunday, and there will be a whole spiritual component to that as well that I'll be involved with. So... it's really, really exciting stuff.
In fact, the Saturday morning of the Compostela campout to me is one of probably the most exciting parts of it. Sure, the music is fun, and when you get the various lineups going on, it's exciting. But in the morning, what we do is we get up, we have morning prayer, we invite people to gather together for morning prayer, and then we begin a series of workshops which are on the arts of evangelization. So Patrick Madrid will give the first talk, and what he's really talking about is the history of evangelization through the perspective of really Our Lady of Guadalupe, not only in 1531 Tepeyac, but also at Extremadura in Spain during the time period of the conquest of the Muslims had conquered the Iberian Peninsula, and then how the Spanish faith really held during that entire 800-year period, and then how in 1492, when the Reconquista was complete, and it was also the voyage of discovery when Columbus sailed under the Spanish flags, he'll be generating that entire story of history all the way up to our time period. So his talk on Saturday morning. Then we have an amazing, talented designer artist named Araceli Quiñones Rios, who will be talking about her journey of evangelizing through beautiful heirloom jewelry and rosaries. And when you hear your story, you're just so inspired about how the Holy Spirit will work through people at various stages in their life. Then Patrick will be giving another talk on evangelization that follows up on his prior two. And then we have another guest who is Mariola Paini of Saints Gallery, a local artist who was really commanded by St. John Paul II to draw the saints, to use her gift of art to draw the saints and tell the lives of the saints through her original artwork. And then we're going to be having a tremendous presentation in the Shroud Center. So Lee Sweeney, our executive director and lead docent, will be taking people through the Shroud Center and explaining how that particular item of devotion has really become an item of scientific study, which is affirming and revealing new information through the scientific study of it. So there's all these arts of evangelization are focused in the morning.
Well, and I don't want to get sidetracked onto the Shroud Center, but this is also housed there at the Santiago Retreat Center. So if we were talking earlier about being able to come up for an afternoon to be able to go to Eucharistic adoration, have your lunch and breathe in deeply, you can also walk over and take a look at some of the material, some of the exhibits regarding the Shroud Center. For those who are not familiar, the Shroud, of course, is looked at as the burial shroud of Jesus Christ. We don't know that it was, but they can't prove it wrong. At least they haven't been able to yet. Right around the time they think they have, it's something happens where they can't. And yet we still have this image, which is this fascinating thing going, much like, as I was saying, much like we have with the tilde. As you look at the tilde of Our Lady of Guadalupe, they're finding new things that are there all the time. They were looking at the eyes of the tilde and examining these images. You can see in the eyes under magnification. And the images, when you look at them, it's the bishop and the people in the room at the time that the tilde was opened. How do you forge that? You know, it's just amazing that you got on there. Obviously, you don't. Well, not necessarily obviously, because not everyone necessarily buys into it. But this is part of the point about going to a retreat, is that you get away from your city, you get away from your normalcy, you go and take a look at things with fresh eyes. And in this case, on this particular thing, the 1531 festival, with fresh ears as well. So you've got a unique opportunity to be able to rekindle our faith in a number of different ways at the Santiago Retreat Center coming up.
Well, one of the great things about the 1531 festival, which is on August 11th, 2018, that's a Saturday, August 11th, we close the festival out with prayer under the stars. Usually happens around 9:30 or 10 o'clock. This year we're going to be utilizing what's known as an Acatist hymn, which is we're going to be utilizing some of the great traditions of the Byzantine Eastern Rite. And we'll be praying, utilizing candlelight under the stars in the beautiful outdoors. Again, it's just a great way to put a capper on what's been a fun day this year. It's all folk music. It's all festivals, with the exception, of course, of the Ritmo Mariachi Kids. We'll be playing their fourth annual festival as well. We always want to have the Ritmo Mariachi Kids with us because they're teaching and preserving the great culture of mariachi, which is rooted in the liturgy of Mexico. We're going to close out the evening with that beautiful prayer under the stars, and it's just something, it's a really a magical evening. So I just encourage everybody to come to the 1531 Folk Fest on Saturday, August the 11th at the Retreat Center, 1531festival.com for all the information, the lineup, and also the schedule of events. And if you can't spend the weekend with us, Compostela Campout, which is on the Santiago Retreat Center website. You just go to the landing page and you click on the Compostela Campout, and it'll show you all the various information that you'll need to make your decision and how to register and make your reservation online.
For that Saturday, that starts about 11:30, and then you said it ends about 9:30.
Exactly.
So this is actually a really comfortable day to be able to get out, go. You're not going to be out till 2 o'clock in the morning. You actually can get up in the morning and go to Mass.
So absolutely.
It's always very good. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today are several people from Santiago Retreat Center, but, of course, beginning with Mark McElrath, who is the executive director of the Santiago Retreat Center. When we come back, we're going to continue with what's going on at the Santiago Retreat Center. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we'll be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives, and Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libra Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today have been some wonderful people from the Santiago Retreat Center, Mark McElrath, Chase Moynihan, Father Glenn Botten, and we have been talking about a number of things having to do with the Santiago Retreat Center. We focused especially on the 1531 Festival. Chase, I know you've had a number of experiences here at the Santiago Retreat Center, and in fact, part of your tie into the focus experience you've had also kind of overlapped a little bit with your experience at Santiago. I'm sure you're planning to come to this festival, and you're going to bring all the focus people with them.
Oh, exactly. You. Yes, I definitely plan on it. So when I went to Cal State Fullerton, I actually just graduated, and I became a part of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And I don't know if all of you have heard about it, but it's an amazing organization, and I have grown so much in my faith through being a part of Focus. I was walking around campus one day, and I saw the Focus group there, and so I was moved by the Spirit. I wanted to grow in my faith and become more intentional. It can be really difficult in college to maintain and let alone grow in your faith life. So I took that leap and I joined the Catholic Club, the Focus group, and the Lord has just been so fruitful and so faithful to me and those in my life through this ministry. And I met some amazing people there, and like you mentioned, my tie into Santiago Retreat Center is through Focus. I last year on Divine Mercy Sunday, we came to the Santiago Retreat Center, and we did a hike. It's a beautiful hike up to this big cross. And so all of us college kids, we hiked up there, and we did some Lectio Divina at the top of the mountain and just worshiped and praised God. And then afterwards, we had a full day of just intentional worship and encountering with the Lord. And that's actually where I met my girlfriend, who I have a very intentional relationship with. And Santiago has a special place in my heart. So we met there a year ago on Divine Mercy Sunday. Her name is Florencia. So hi, if you're listening.
I'm sure she will be.
Yes, she better be. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell her about it. And so it's been so beautiful to be a part of Focus. Ben O'Neill and his wife, Emily O'Neill, help out, and they were the head missionaries over at Cal State Fullerton. I know Focus is also at USC, UCLA, and UCI. So if any of you have kids going into college, I would definitely recommend that you kind of point them in that direction. Focus actually had a conference in Chicago a few months ago, and that's where I was equipped to better spread the faith and evangelize. That's my passion, is to evangelize, especially through the medium of you know, the technology, because us, the millennials, the younger generation, you can't get us off of those things. So there's a great opportunity to spread the word through that. So through Focus and being formed with them, I've been doing a lot of retreats with Florencia over this past summer, and one of them being, like we mentioned, Camp El Camino. And it was just, it's so beautiful to be able to be filled with God's love and then to have that love move me and my relationship with her, and then to be able to come back and give back a year later at the same place that we met at Camp El Camino. And like I mentioned earlier, it's like awesome. Awesome in terms of like looking at our lives from God's perspective and seeing how he kind of places certain people in your lives, and how like years from now you could look back on certain situations and you could see, you could see him moving. And so like a year ago, I was just at the Santiago Retreat Center. I could have fathomed that I would be leading a camp and now on the radio talking about it. So it's kind of like a little bit of an interesting kind of like, whoa, what the heck experience. But we were talking about the Shroud Center earlier, and I forgot to mention at Camp El Camino, we had an opportunity to bring the kids and to show them the displays there. And so I just wanted to talk about how I knew a decent amount about the Shroud, but this is like world class, the center they have here. There's so much information that they have, and there's like they have a life size picture of the Shroud. You can see the negative, the front and the back, and the kids were so moved. And so like throughout the day, they have a lot of energy and they'll be talking and playing games. But once we got in there, and once Annie Jo, one of the counselors there who helped actually run Camp El Camino, she talked to them, and she has such a fire for the Lord. She's also part of Focus at Cal State Fullerton. So there's a lot going on over there. But seeing the kids really dive in and ask questions about the Shroud, so half of them were like, how come more people don't know about this? How come I wasn't told about this before? So you really owe it to yourself to check out the Shroud Center.
For the five people in the universe who do not know what the Shroud is, and I'm sure actually there's a lot more than that, what exactly is it supposed to be a picture of?
So what it is, it's the burial cloth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what actually happens is the theory right now that we have is that when he rose from the dead, when he was resurrected, there was a flash of light. And so that imprinted onto the shroud his body. So you could see the face of Jesus Christ. You could see the blood and his wounds on the hands. You see,
it's a life-size picture on the shroud.
Exactly, life-size.
And since the shroud is, it actually goes from his feet over his head back to his feet, so it's really long.
It's very long.
So you've got two images then.
Yep, you have the front and the back. And so check out the Shroud Center. You'll see all of it. They have a replica of the spear that was used on our Lord, and they have the nails. You could see the type of nails that they would use in crucifixion at that time, the type of thorns that were typical, also the type of sponge that they would have used to give him the wine.
Okay, so the spear, which was Longinus' spear that went into his side, and then supposedly that there was a sponge that was put on that to go up. Unless you're reading John's Gospel, then it was on a hyssop, which is hard to get up
there.
But it makes a lot more sense liturgically. So that's all at the Shroud Center.
All of it's there, yes.
So when you brought the kids in and you explained to them what this was, again, what I love about this age group, because having been a teacher for a while in this age group, there's a real sincerity of wanting to know. Did you see the aha in their eyes when they're looking at this thing?
Yes, certainly. I certainly did. And we
Chase,
had,
it'll never leave you.
It never will.
That image that you've got of those kids will never leave you.
Just the look of, at first, a little bit of disbelief being like, well, if this is true, how come I haven't heard about it before? And they would ask us questions. And, you know, we have – there's so much scientific backing and for this. There's so many doctors and tests that have been run over decades on the Shroud. And when we were able to explain to the children all of the facts surrounding it and all of the tests that have been run on it, you could see the gears starting to move in their head. And it just kind of – it's hard to explain seeing that look on their face. And some of them got emotional seeing how much suffering was endured by all the blood on the shroud. And I myself was moved. It's a great place to pray as well in there when you see all of the images of him and just stare into his face. And so the kids really loved, and that was a high point for them of the retreat.
This was one of the things that John Paul talked about when he visited the shroud, was that regardless of whether or not you're ever able to prove that this is a photograph, essentially, of our Lord, it is certainly an icon of our Lord.
Absolutely.
In that it is a representation, in a way, that conveys the gospel message in a very deep and meaningful manner to your spirit. That's kind of the definition of an icon, of this idea of expression of the Word of God to the people that receive it. And it sounds like that's exactly what your kids experienced at the retreat.
Yes.
Chase, do you happen to know if the Shroud Center is usually open? And if people go to this festival coming up, again, on August 11th, if they just want to come up for the day, will they be able to see this as well? Mark, do you?
Great question. I'm glad you brought it up. The first part of the question was, can people come and see the Shroud Center? With some advanced planning, we can arrange for a docent-led tour of the Shroud Center. By that, I mean go onto the Santiago Retreat Center website, santiagoretreatcenter.org, click on information, and just let us know we'd like to come and see the Shroud Center, and then we'll put you on the schedule and arrange for your group to see. Usually because of the size of Santiago Retreat Center, individuals just can't come up and arrive without a reservation or without some anticipation. There's just too much going on in the day-to-day life. But for the 1531 Folk Festival, the Shroud Center will be open. There will be opportunities for docent-led tours to be taking place spontaneously. Again, if you come to the Compostela Campout, that will be part of the program. In the morning, we'll be presenting. I really recommend, if you have any opportunity whatsoever, to come to the full weekend, the full campout, starting Friday afternoon and going all the way through Sunday morning. It is a weekend that will refresh, renew, regenerate, and inspire you. So you can learn all about the Compostela Campout on the Santiago Retreat Center website, which is santiagoretreatcenter.org. And on the landing page, you'll see the click the button for Compostela Campout reservations.
Wow. It sounds like the Santiago Retreat Center has really become an example of the heart of our diocese here, where there's so many things that are going on that are reflecting the lifeblood of the Spirit of God here in the diocese. Father Bodden, I want to thank you for being here. Chase, thank you for being here. Mark, I want to thank you for being here and bringing them all in.
Thank you, Rick.
Father, if you would be so kind in the time we have left, if you could lead us in an ending prayer and a final blessing for our listening audience.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We ponder this 1531 date, O Lord, when our Blessed Mother did appear to Juan Diego and commenced with a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a phenomenal harvest of new converts to the faith as she ministered to them and made known to this group of indigenous people in Mexico of the loving embrace that they were to receive by her son, Jesus the Christ. And we're still about that, Lord. Our Lady of Guadalupe is ever the inspiration, the intercessor for the new evangelization in our midst, something that the Santiago Retreat Center is very involved with, oh God. May you continue to inspire us to be a place of deep conversion. And we also pray for the Diocese of Orange, committed as it is to the evangelization of not only this diocese, but the entire people in this region. And so we do look to you, O Blessed Mother, in your ongoing intercession, and do close with the Hail Mary prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And this blessing, through the continued intercession of our Blessed Mother, may we also receive the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And again, thank you to all who've come from the Santiago Retreat Center. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. If you would like to hear this again, you can hear it on our podcast at OCCatholic.com. And we will see you again next week.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Tim Marie Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Tim Marie podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
My name is Nick Jordan. I'm the founder of Wells of Life. I'm here to tell you that there are 10 million people in Uganda without access to clean water. Imagine your water comes from a stream or pond shared with animals. Imagine that this water is loaded with parasites and disease. Each day you have to walk 3 miles to fetch this because it's all the water there is. So what can you do about this? The great news is you can do a lot. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Talk to your family, church, or company about funding your own well. Every penny goes to fund your well and will bring water and life to as many as 1,000 parishioners in rural Uganda for up to 20 years. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Wellsoflife.net. Wellsoflife.net.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.